Doug Green, and I'm the publisher of Telecom Reseller. And today I'm with James Junkin, who's the president at Mariner Golf Consulting Services, and he's also a Veriforce Master Trainer. James, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Doug.
Well, I think we're going to be having a most interesting podcast. There's just no one who's listening that won't be interested in this because the pandemic is one of these events that's impacted everybody's life. And we're going to be talking about it from a very specific perspective. We're going to be talking about how to basically navigate through the waters of a world where we might be looking at vaccination mandates or maybe we shouldn't. How do we encourage employees to do the right thing, but also how do we deal with employees who have different points of view, and how do we value different points of view, and how do we value independent decision-making versus the needs of the community and so on. There's a lot here on the table. But James, first of all, thank you for joining us. And maybe you can just tell us a little bit about what Mariner Golf Consulting and Services is.
Well, Doug, Mariner Golf is a boutique occupational safety and health consulting firm. We work in a variety of industries, including the telecommunications industry, construction, oil and gas industry. We provide occupational safety and health policies and procedures. We consult on certain matters, maybe even in ranging in some legal issues regarding occupational safety and health. And for the last 2 years, we've really been consumed with advising our clients on how best they can navigate the occupational safety and health waters of COVID-19.
So let's just say that in real terms, before all this went down, you've had firsthand experience in experiencing and talking and walking people through processes where people have to figure out how to best manage their labor resources.
That's correct, particularly related to occupational safety and health issues and compliance, not only with the regulatory bodies, but also their customers.
And what is a Veriforce Master Trainer?
Veriforce is an organization I'm very proud to be partnered with and to be part of their team. Veriforce is the premier supply chain risk management solutions network. And my role at Veriforce as a master trainer is to help promote and teach their assortment of occupational safety and health training programs. So what I do is conduct train-the-trainers throughout the nation for would-be instructors and assist them in developing and delivering our suite of training programs.
So, you know, James, when I think about it, many of our readers, whether they're operating and managing a company, an MSP or a channel company, or maybe they're managing an IT or UC department somewhere as an enterprise end user, you know, it's just good enough to try to get through the day, to run the business, to address all the issues and put out all the fires. And now we're dealing with this COVID situation and we're having to deal with the complexity of, you know, people that part of my staff is vaccinated, maybe part of it isn't. Where do I begin? How do I start to navigate through this?
You know, I would say one of the things I have a unique perspective is I'm a business owner as well. And I don't know of any issue in our lifetimes that has confounded business owners, employers, as the pandemic has. Everyone's concerned about the well-being of their employees, themselves, their families, their customers, their supply chains. How do we take care of workers? How do we stay in business? And there was a lot of real concern personally back last year in the spring when COVID first emerged of whether or not we were going to make it as an organization. And then as it has evolved, the pandemic has evolved, you know, the more we've learned about the virus has resulted in maybe some conflicting statements from early on that came from the government. I remember the Surgeon General saying, you know, we shouldn't wear masks, then we should wear masks. And you know, social distancing and washing our hands. And now we're all the way to vaccination. And vaccination is one of those things that has a hot button topic. A lot of people have a lot of strong opinions about it. You see different messaging coming from state and federal governments. And that really leaves us as an employer confounded as to what we should do. What should we do that protects the lives, the health, the safety of our workforce and our business as an institution? So hopefully we're going to get into some tips I have today about how to navigate those waters. But it's truly challenging times, Doug, for business owners and employees alike.
You know, as you're describing it, it almost sounds like all of a sudden being appointed as a pilot on an airplane, and then not only that, you're flying, and not only that, it's through a storm, and there's a lot going on. It's a fluid situation. Stuff is coming. Things are changing as we go. We still have to keep the plane flying. So let's start taking this step by step. And, you know, one of the things we talked about just before we started was, you know, now that we're in a certain period of time with the vaccines and so on, some of the states are talking about vaccine mandates for example, institutions like their schools and employees. But to your point earlier, you know, some states are actually moving in the opposite direction. And we have a lot of listeners who operate across state lines.
This is very confounding for particularly employers who operate across state lines, multi-state employers, but even in singular states. For example, I live in Louisiana, but inside the city of New Orleans as a private citizen, I have to show proof of vaccination or proof of a negative test within 72 hours of me presenting that test to just go into a restaurant. Outside the city of New Orleans, one parish over, doesn't have the same requirements. So as a business owner, to me, that this is fraught with legal dangers. You have seven states, I think, maybe five, I think it's seven states that have already passed legislation that prohibit employers from having a mandate. There are over 140 bills on the subject that have been introduced across the United States regarding mandates and what employers can do and what employers can't do. So the first advice I would have for business owners and leaders, managers, is to consult with competent legal counsel. We're in an area of employment law in which the Equal Opportunity Commission, the EOC, has come out and said, yes, employers can require vaccination as a condition of employment. However, most of those employment laws are enforced at the state level. So if you're a multi-state employer or if you're just a little bit unsure about what the laws are in your state, before I considered mandating any type of vaccination program, I would first of all consult with appropriate legal counsel to make sure that our policies and procedures, one, conform with the state law, and two, also conform with the exemptions that are allowed under federal law, under the Americans with Disabilities Act, and also the U.S. Civil Rights Act. So you cannot discriminate against someone who has a disability, a medical disability, that legitimately cannot receive the vaccine, or that has a strongly held religious belief. So as you're navigating these waters, I think it's appropriate to associate legal counsel that specializes in employment law where you're located. That way you can craft policies and procedures that are compliant.
You know, let's start to break this down to very specific things. And I'm going to sort of start with an example, sort of maybe an example of one of our readers. I'm thinking of a lot of our channel companies are smaller firms, and they don't have necessarily a robust human resource department. They can't afford maybe to have someone that's full-time that job. So as a business owner, and let's say you have one or two people that are in charge of hiring and managing the crew and so on, where do you begin? How do you start figuring out how you're going to do all this?
I think you begin with recognizing that the virus is a threat. It's ever evolving. And the key to building strong relationships and having a positive safety culture is communication. And that's the key to dealing with COVID-19. I view COVID-19 like any other hazard. It's something we have to deal with. And the best way to deal with it begins with good communication. So educational programs that educate our employees as to what the threat is, what we're doing at work to protect you, what we're advising as far as vaccination is concerned, and leading by example. So as a business owner, even in an occupational safety and health firm, once I was vaccinated, a lot of my other staff and employees went along with it. So I wanted to lead from the front, be an example for others to follow without issuing a mandate throughout our firm. So having a strong educational component to your vaccine program that's informational rather than dictation is where to start. And you can find a lot of information regarding educational programs on OSHA's website and also at the Center for Disease Control.
It sounds to me like also there's a lot of personal approach here. In other words, what I think I'm hearing is communicating, knowing the law, keeping people secure and safe and private, maybe also trying to figure out how to keep your door open so folks can talk to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. As a leader, I want to make sure that I'm constantly communicating. And this is an ever-changing virus. I mean, 3 months ago, we had not heard of a Delta variant. We had the president telling us, hey, if we get vaccinated, we can take off our mask. Now we're back with mask on. And that can be very confusing to people that don't deal with this every day. They're just trying to go to work, do a good job, and take care of their families. So as information changes, I as a leader need to make sure I'm communicating that to my staff. And in small companies, that's best done directly. In larger companies, you know, that might be leveraging some of your technology. But I work with a lot of small firms, a lot of small companies throughout the United States, companies with less than 50 employees. So if the senior leadership is involved, they need to be involved in the direct communication of what we're doing to build confidence that our program is addressing COVID-19 concerns.
You know, James, you've brought up actually a very important point, and I think one that often creates a distance between business owners and, you know, many of the people who choose not to be, in a sense, business owners, and that is the idea of certainty. Folks that run a business or even folks that are executives and running a department understand that the nature of the beast is uncertainty and change, and that there's nothing that's 100% certain all the time, that to a certain degree, lots of things are fluid and you sort of have to live with that. Many people are really excellent team members in a group and so on, may not have that personality. In other words, what I think I'm hearing here is sometimes you're going to have people on your staff who like to have things that are black and white, hard and fast. And so how do you sort of cope with getting folks to understand there's a plastic nature to this?
Well, I think it's being honest and developing some trust between the management team that's doing the communicating and our frontline workers. The first thing I tell people in occupational safety and health is I cannot reduce risk to zero. I cannot eliminate all risk. I cannot eliminate all hazards. But I can get it to where it's manageable, to where it's practical. So what's practical? Masking, social distancing, making accommodations for working from home. Those are practical applications. And then as things evolve, I am honest, upfront, forthright, and deliver the information. If something has changed, I've said something like, as soon as we get a vaccine, we can get rid of these masks. Then now I've got a little bit of a credibility issue. So I need to explain that to people. Why is the CDC recommending people, even vaccinated, go back into masks? Because this virus is evolving. 2 years ago, we never even heard of this virus. And now that we've got vaccines that are available, I think communication is paramount to creating an atmosphere of trust within the organization so that my employees know that the best information that we have is being given to them and there's not some other agenda.
You know, even some of our smaller companies that are listening probably have a spectrum of employees where some of the folks that work there have to be frontline. They need to be present in the office. They need to be face forward to the customer or on site doing different things and so on. Whereas they may have also administrative and other, even sales staff that might be able to stay at home. How do you, as an employer, establish company-wide policies? And then, you know, what I'm thinking here is the whole issue of fairness. Someone raising their hand saying, well, just because I'm, you know, a front-forward employee doesn't, why am I required to do something and Sue or Jane or not?
Well, it's a difficult question to answer in a broad spectrum answer because each case kind of presents itself individually. But I would say this, you know, does fair mean I have to treat everybody the same? You know, I'm not sure fair means I have to treat everybody the same. I think I need to treat everybody with respect and make accommodations where it's possible. So if I'm a frontline worker and I object to wearing a mask and I object to some social distancing and I object to the vaccination, but I have to go to customer locations to where that may be a requirement for me to enter, you know, that's going to be a difficult position for an employer to accommodate. So there has to be some give and take, I think, where we can accommodate for employee objections or employee concerns, we need to do that. I don't think we should just discard employee concerns as if they're not legitimate concerns. We're asking people in some cases to put a substance into their body. And in those cases, there are questions, there are concerns. In some places, there are trust issues. So going back to building trust through effective educational programs, I think helps break down barriers and helps limit some of those unique situations where you have the ability to accommodate maybe some workers who can work from home, for example, or do not come into contact, close contact with other workers, and those that are client facing that actually go out into the facilities of our customers.
You know, one of the things I think I'm hearing from you is a sort of overarching approach of maybe it's better to get employees to get there on their own, to come to their own conclusions, to make up their own mind versus basically coming down with a heavy hammer.
Exactly. That's exactly where I'm heading with this. Most people do not, including myself, I'm not a fan of people dictating to me what I'm going to do, particularly regards with my health care. And now we have a public health crisis on our hands where I have responsibility not only for myself, but for my family and others around me. So I think you're seeing some of the vaccine hesitancy decrease and vaccination rates increase voluntarily as more is learned about the virus, particularly related to this Delta variant. So rather than coming down and saying you must do it, even though in some states it's allowed and it's legal and you can necessitate or issue as a condition of employment that you must be vaccinated, I think it goes a lot better if you build confidence around safe work practices and the vaccines through an effective educational component and leading by example and taking objections that people have and dealing with those on an individual basis. Why do you object? Is there a religious reason? Is there a disability that you have? Is it just that you're unsure? You know, we can provide you educational literature. And then I think one of the biggest things and as a leader is me being able to step forward and say, I took the vaccine myself. I had concerns. I did my research, and I'll make a commitment to you. As information changes, I'm going to communicate that to you directly. As the situation changes, I'm going to stay on top of this as a business owner and make sure you get the information you need to make the most informed decision that you can. And I think once people have the information and they feel like it's come from a reliable source, most people will choose to cooperate with their employers because nobody wants to get the virus.
You know, before we shift gears and talk about the approach that might be taken by the IT managers and so on, sticking with the small business owners, you know, you have a small office, you have a small operation, people talk. How do you preserve people's privacy as they approach you and talk to you about these issues?
Well, one thing as a business owner, if someone comes to you, you need to keep that in confidence, even in a small business. I run a very small business myself. I have 15 safety professionals and consultants that work with us, and we're very tight. We're almost like a family. But there's sometimes I have information that does not need to be shared, particularly maybe somebody's reservations when it comes to vaccination or some of the COVID-19 protocols that we have. So the first thing I'd say is, in order to develop trustworthiness and confidence, if things are told to you in confidence, you need to keep it confident. And again, this is a very personal decision, and it doesn't take a lot of clicks of the mouse to come up on news stories where there are passions running high on both sides of this issue. I regret that it's been a politicized issue, but at the same time, we've got to operate a business. And I'm also responsible for the safety and health of the people that work in this business and conforming to the requirements of our customers. So where we can make reasonable accommodations, we will. And in instances where we cannot, we cannot.
Let me shift gears from the world of the smaller organization, where you're kind of scrambling for resources, to the world at the opposite end. The very large enterprise where there are very sophisticated resources and a whole HR and legal department. But nevertheless, our readers are managing a group or a team, and they are coping with these issues even though they have those resources at their disposal. And I'm wondering if you have any suggestions for them.
The first thing I would suggest is make sure because those companies typically are multi-state employers, that we are developing policies and procedures that are uniform across our network and in the states where we have exposure, so to speak. Outside of a legal standpoint, we want to make sure that communication is as effective in a broader sense as it is in a smaller company. And it's easy to get lost as a number in a company that's got 35,000 employees. But each one of those employees is important. Each one of those employees, I'm responsible for their health and safety. Each one of those employees has concerns. And we need to be able to address those. So in a larger organization, the communication stream needs to be more thought out. The educational stream needs to be more definitive. In a smaller company, we can just have an employee meeting. In a larger company, we may not be able to get together like that. Or I, as the CEO or president, may not be able to have that personal touch. So the one thing I think I'd recommend in the communication strategy is planning it out, having a written strategy, and ensuring that everyone on the management team is saying the same thing, that we're all in accordance. We're delivering one message to our workforce, and that message is consistent.
You know, that's a very interesting place maybe for us to finish off our podcast, that we're all living in an environment which can be very confusing. There's a lot of loud voices, cross currents, and so on. And it would be nice that if you go to work, what you're hearing from your employer and your team and the people that you work with is one message.
Absolutely. And I think that's the only way we navigate these difficult times, particularly when it comes to vaccination and trying to stop the spread of this disease. So as a corporate strategy, consulting with your employment lawyers, instructing, consulting with your occupational safety and health staff, getting feedback from your employees, your HR departments to design a single message that employees can count on. Because there's a lot of noise around this. And it can be extremely confusing when it comes to the average person who's having to make a decision about injecting something into their body.
You know, James, as we wrap up our podcast today, and I'm thinking now again of our smaller readers, I'm guessing some of those guys are saying to themselves, yeah, but I don't know if I can afford the resources that you're talking about. Are there really good resources they really can get their hands on and use?
There are. There's extremely good resources. If you go to Veriforce.com and go to the blog, there's a lot of blog entries that are at Veriforce.com that address COVID-19. My LinkedIn page is a good place to go. James Junkins, CSP, SMS, COSHO on LinkedIn. But outside of that, from the governmental agencies that are involved, the CDC has a really good employer guidance documents along with OSHA on building confidence in COVID vaccination programs. There's supplemental material there, sort of like lesson plans, handouts, posters, things of that nature that are available on both of those websites that you can use as a small company to further your communication strategy and educate your workforce.
James, could you tell us just a little bit more about how you're available too?
Well, we are available online at www.marinergulf.com. I'm also keep a pretty good presence on LinkedIn, or you can reach out to me in my email, james@marinergulf.com.
So before we go, because it's such a huge topic, any other tips for our listeners?
Stay current. Get your information from reputable sources. Be willing to voice your concerns to your if you're an employee, to your management team. And as a management, be willing to listen. And I think if we listen to each other and get past some of the noise that's around vaccination and the politicization and just talk to each other as people, I think we can get through this virus together.
James, I think on that note, I want to thank you. That was very excellent information and a great start for a lot of people. I know we're going to probably be talking about this soon. Unfortunately, it's an ongoing issue. But for now, thanks very much for your time and insight.
Thank you for having me, Doug. It was my pleasure.